The title this morning, if you are a note taker, is Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, the name above all names. It's January 19th, 2014. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to say a couple things about the name of Jesus. You know, the name of Jesus heals. The name of Jesus is above cancer and lack and divorce things that are broken. There's something about the name of Jesus. When you start to understand the name of Jesus and the position and the power that it holds, you'll call upon that name a little bit more when you're going through circumstances and situations. Amen. So this morning, really my goal this morning, and I asked God what we want to do, he wanted me to help position you to use the name of Jesus more often, not in a word that where you're cursing his name, but where you're using his name to help you get to the next level in life, and to understand that when you call upon that name, it doesn't fall upon a deaf ear, but an ear that hears and wants to do something on your behalf. So this morning, my goal is to really position you about the name of Jesus. Now, you got to understand, in the ancient Hebrew culture, names carried great significance. Sometimes it might refer to an individual's personality. It might relate to an event surrounding a person's birth or indicate the way that God may use a child in their lifetime. And I thought about that, and I thought about my name, Jeffrey. It was J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, and I was only called Jeffrey when my mom was upset with me. Amen. Jeffrey, get over here. I would say, oh, I'm in trouble now. And I thought about my name, and when my mom and dad, when they had me, I was like a surprise. So my name was a surprise. We weren't expecting him to come, but oh, I'm now with a baby. I was 7 years different between my sister and 9 years different between my brother. I was the big surprise. So it kind of fitting, because when I now people look at me and they used to know me what I was like in high school and in college. They go, ooh, what a surprise! You're a pastor? I wouldn't imagine that. So it's kind of fitting that my name would fit into that somehow. And wow, a big surprise! You really amounted to something other than a janitor. Yeah, big surprise, So, there's something about the name that people give you. Sometimes your name has a good context to it, or sometimes, it could have a bad connotation to it. If you're running in with hood in the gang and that, it might have a bad connotation. If you're hanging around the right people, you might have a good connotation on your name. And it's interesting is that your name conveys your very character and the nature of the person. And you need to understand something this morning. There's something about your name. And something about your name when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's something about your character that changes. And your name begins to start to look like Jesus' name. And Jesus' name meant Savior or salvation. And you don't realize, but in your name, when you go to speak to people, you might be the Savior for somebody who's going to hell. You may be the person that you speak Jesus into their life and they get saved through what you spoke. You're the living Jesus, in other words. You don't really realize how important you really are in the whole scheme of the things of God. And that's why you need to understand about Jesus that his name is above every name. Because once you get that this morning, you're going to start to see yourself go into a whole nother level, and there ain't no new devil because he's already been defeated. Amen. This morning I want to discuss the name of Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus as the most high exalted person that ever walked this earth. His name is above every name. And this morning I just want to take a look at what the Bible says about his name. Because what I want to do is I want to, if you were to have some arrows in your quiver, I need to help you have a little bit more this morning. Amen. I want to arm you up and position you so that you're ready for anything that comes your way. Amen? Is that good this morning? All right. Take a look at Philippians 2, verse 5. We'll start there. This is on the New Living Translation. Philippians 2, 5. New Living Translation. It says it this way. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. We'll stop right there. Some of us need to just have an attitude adjustment so that our attitude is just like Jesus. Jesus always had an attitude of gratitude. We can't walk around as woe is me and do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Amen. We got to get an attitude that lines up with Jesus. And I read this the first thing I said, Jesus, I know I my attitude sometimes doesn't really line up with what your word says, and please forgive me. First word out of it, man. I said, come on, Jesus, really? You messing with me. But he says, no, I'm trying to help you. That you've got to have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, because once you get my attitude, then you'll have my gratitude, and then I'm going to take you to some places where you can't go on your own, and then you're going to have the impossible happen and be possible, but you got to have my attitude. Verse 6 says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place of the highest honor and gave him the name that is above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody. It doesn't matter who you is. God is going, when you die, you're going to have an arraignment day. Amen. For me, it's going to be a jubilation day, because I'm getting my keys to my new house, you know, in heaven, amen, with my gold streets. Come on. I'm just trying to help you. You're all looking shocked at me. I'm going to have a house? Yeah, you have a mansion. It'd be bigger than the Beverly Hillbillies mansion, amen. If old Jed's a millionaire, guess what you is? You're God's child. Just trying to help you. There's significance in the name of Jesus. Shout with me this morning. Jesus is the name above all names. See, Jesus is the name above all names. So Jesus is above all things. He's above your lack, your doubt, your unbelief, your selfishness, whatever that is. God's above all that. The name of Jesus. Now, let me explain something. The world views Jesus as just a teacher or a religious leader that preached 2,000 years ago. That's how the world has sandwiched him into a box. He ain't nothing. He's just like you and me. You're a preacher, man. Jesus is just like you. Really? No. The followers claimed, and that's us, followers, believe that Jesus healed, that Jesus rose from the dead, that even though Jesus was crucified on the cross, after the third day he rose from the grave to fulfill the scriptures. Those people that believe in him are called Christians, because we act like Christ. We have the right attitude. Isn't what that says there? It says we should have the same mindset, the same attitude that Christ had. That's the Bible says. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to act like Christ. And that's why sometimes I don't like religious people, because they're religious and they try to make me that I don't fit in because I don't wear a certain dress outfit, or I don't do something, or I don't do a certain ritual, or I don't do this, or I don't do that. And those are all good things, but that's not me. God created me to be an individual. All I got to do is listen to him. You just got to have the same attitude that he had. You know, Jesus, in the Greek version, meant Yeshua, and that means salvation. Jesus came as our Savior. He was just not a mortal teacher of the word. He came as Savior. He came to give us salvation. Take a look at this slide about the names of Jesus for a second. There's like a whole bunch of names of Jesus. Son of Man, Rabbi, Master, Almighty, Divine, Bread of Life. A few other ones they called him. They called him Prophet and Teacher, King of Kings, Emmanuel, Good Shepherd, the Light of the World, the Bread of Life, the Lamb of God, our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. Those are just a few names. There's over 100 names in the Bible for Jesus. Amen? Now, I've been called over 100 names, but none of them were anything like those names. I've been called slow, stupid, other names. But I don't allow those things to slow me down. Amen? Because when you get to know God, then you get to know that you have a destiny. And whatever people think and say, I don't really worry about, because the only one I'm really concerned about is what he's saying. Because Jesus is always talking. Holy Spirit is always talking, communicating. And all you got to do is plug into what he's saying and go do. Amen? There's power in the name of Jesus. Shout with me this morning. There's power in the name of Jesus. Say it again. There's power in the name of Jesus. So you got to understand something. There's power in that name of Jesus. It will get you out of some tight jams. That car that should have hit you swerved right out of the way miraculously. How did that happen? I don't know. I just called on the name of Jesus. I hit my brakes. And my car just moved out of the way. I don't know how. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. I don't know if the angels picked it up and moved it, but it should have been, could have been, would have been, but didn't happen. Because I called upon that name. Now you got to understand, there is no salvation or hope for eternal life apart from the name of Jesus. Let me give you an example of something. You ever see that Life Alert commercial? You know, in every 11 minutes we're saving a life, and if you push this button, oh, Miss So-and-so, you know, oh, I fell down, I can't get up, and you push the Life Alert, and then all of a sudden the ambulance comes, but they don't tell you, they kick down the door and destroyed your walls to get you in there now. Or they push the button and oh, Mrs. So-and-so, I see you sleeping in bed and there's a smoke in your thing, you better leave. Or someone's following some lady and she pushes Life Alert and they talk to her the whole way and the police show up. And we look at the commercial and I always laugh because, you know, the commercial was shot like back in the 70s. They got these old ambulances and stuff. And they're still using that same commercial. And you have to pay for the service every month, you know. You got to pay for this Life Alert little button thing, you know. And I was just thinking, I'm like, you know, I can just push on the name of Jesus. I don't have to call the Life Alert. I don't have to pay $11.95 a month and have some people. I just have to call on the name of Jesus. I don't have to push no button. I don't have to wear nothing or pay any extra fee. I just call on the name of Jesus. And guess what? He appears. He shows up. He helps me. He guides me. He directs me. He gives me hope when I'm hopeless. He's always there. He's always there in time, on time. Life Alert's good, but one thing Life Alert can't give you is eternal life. It might save me in my present situation, in my physical being, but it can't transport me to my mansion in heaven. But the name of Jesus can. I don't need that Life Alert. Although it's the funniest commercial I see, and I'm like, and they got the people driving on the road, $11.95 a month. Or you know, you can pull out your cell phone and say, you know, I just injured myself, it's 911, I got to call 911. I just rolled over my vehicle in the middle of the desert or something. You know what I mean? 911, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, I just, you know. And someone will come help, but, you know, all you had to do is call the name of Jesus, and he was already there. He's there before the ambulance, the car, the family, whatever. He's already there. He's a present help in time of need. Take a look at the Bible, Acts 4:12. Because there is no other way to access salvation. You know, people say, well, you could be this, you could be that, you can do this, you can do that. Acts 4:12 says it really clear for you, New Living Translation. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. You ain't going to find salvation in Buddha, Muhammad, some Hindu religion. You're not going to find it in anything that you buy. You ain't gonna find it in money. It says there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. That name is Jesus. That's J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Many religions teach that you can have divine favor and good deeds will get you there. And the truth is that, you know, you can do some great things and you'll be cleaned up, but you'll never be saved. You can't wash away your own sins. The only one that can wash away your sins is Jesus. That's why he came to be Savior. That's why you and I need a Savior. The world needs a Savior. They need to know about Jesus. There's something about that name of Jesus. Take a look at John 14:13. John 14:13. Now, when you call upon that name of Jesus, you can call upon it in prayer. Because when you call upon the name of Jesus, you've got to understand something. He does hear you. Amen. He doesn't have his miracle ears turned down, and he's not deaf. The Bible says in John 14:13, this is a New King James Version, it says, and whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask, not just certain things, whatever you ask. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you more intimately than you know yourself more intimately. And he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, Jesus' name, it's going to glorify the Father when you do that. I'm pleasing too. When you ask in the name of Jesus, here's the deal about when you ask in the name of Jesus. What you're saying is that I'm asking him because I'm in association with him. I'm part of his family. He's my elder brother. And many times I've heard pastors, you know, kind of, Jesus is my like that. He's not. Well, tell me where he's not. Well, that's, you know, that's kind of making it personal. Yeah, it is. Jesus is my elder brother. I've got the same DNA as Jesus. His blood is inside of me, even though it's 2,000 years. Somehow, I got the same blood as Jesus. Oh, how can you say he's your elder brother? Because he is. What does it say about the Bible? What does the Bible say? That I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. If I'm a joint heir with Jesus, that means we're kin, we're family. He's my elder brother. He's older than me. I got an older brother whose name is Gary. He's my elder brother. Jesus is my other elder brother, who's my brother's elder brother. Amen? See, we have a relationship with Jesus that gives us access to him. And through Jesus, you have the authority to make requests to the Father. In other words, you can ask God for anything you want to you want in life as long as it lines up with the will of God. Take a look at Matthew 7:7. If you were a gambler, that would be a good number. Matthew 7:7. Just trying to help. Trying to make it real because y'all in Las Vegas, you know. Matthew 7:7. It says, ask. See, a lot of times, you and I don't like to ask because we might be putting God out. But he didn't say that. You're never putting Jesus out. You're never putting God out when you ask. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. You see, there's a progression there. I'm going to ask first. Hey, Jesus, elder, brother, friend, buddy, advocate, King of kings, Lord, Savior, hallelujah. I love you. Not trying to butter you up or anything. You know, I just, you know, want to say thank you, you know, for giving me breath today. And then what I do is I seek him a little bit more. I go in his word and I find out more about my elder brother, right? And then I knock because I already got his attention. I ask and I always seek, but now I'm knocking. Hey, man. And see, when you knock, he always answers the door. Not like me. When you come knock on my door, I probably won't answer it. You probably have to ring the doorbell 3 times before I come. Who is it? Oh, we're not home. Nobody here speak no English. You ever do that? I guess I'm the only one that does that. See, we got to ask according to God's will. We ask him in prayer. Sometimes God will say no to some of your requests because he knows there's something better. What you asked was good and he said no to, but there's something better on its way. There's many times I ask God, Lord, I want this, I want that, and God says, well, no. Well, why? God just says, ask, seek, and knock. I ask him, he goes, that's good. You asked, you seeked, and you knocked. But no on this one because there's something better, and I don't want this to get in the way of what I'm going to give you. See, you wanted the smaller furniture, but you didn't know I was going to get you a bigger home, and that furniture would look like, you know, a postage stamp in that room. So I've got something bigger. So I said no to that, but I got something bigger and better for you because that's the kind of God we serve. I know you wanted a 2 garage, but I got you 3 because I know that I'm going to put some stuff in there that you're going to be able to use to bless somebody else with. And you needed a storage, and I didn't want you to have to go pay extra at some storage place, so I'll just give you a little bit of extra room to help you out. That's how God works. Oh, yeah, sure. Shout, there's power in the name of Jesus. Now, here's a good thing. There's also persecution in the name of Jesus. Isn't that great? There's power in it, but there's also persecution. And you got to understand, persecution comes against all of us. Shout, persecution will come against the name of Jesus. I'll give you an example. Think about the Christians that are persecuted in the name of Jesus in Iraq and Iran and China, Indiana, just kidding, India, America. From the days of the early church, the name of Jesus has been hated. Take a look at Acts 5:26. I'm just going to break this down for you. I only have like one or more scripture probably. But I want to show you why the name of Jesus is hated. And I'm going to give you a scripture and a verse that you'll have in here. Acts 5, verse 26. This is the New Living Translation. I want to show you something that even after Jesus was persecuted, put to death, rose from the dead, he was still his name. People didn't want to mention the name. It's all good that you talk about God at work. Oh, God did this for me. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, God did this for me too, you know. And yeah. But as soon as you say Jesus and you identify yourself as a Christ follower, Acts 5:26 says, the captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. Didn't we tell you? Never again to teach in the man's name. They're referring to Jesus. Instead, we have filled all of Jerusalem with your teaching about him. And you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. You might not like me, but I'm going to do what God told me to do. It's okay that you talk about God at your job, in the marketplace, and all that. But once you say, let me tell you about my Jesus, now you've singled them out. People don't like that name of Jesus. Because what it does is it convicts you. There's something about that name. If you're living wrong, if you're having a wrong lifestyle, if you're in a mess, if you're doing something illegal and somebody starts talking to you about Jesus, the first thing you want to do is run away from that person. I don't want to hear about that Jesus. I ran from my brother for years. He'd bring the Bible and I'd say, get that thing away from me. We'll talk about that Jesus about me. I like what I'm doing. I'm okay in my sinful nature. You don't have to condemn me and convict me. It wasn't him. It was the word of Jesus. The name of Jesus was convicting me. And I would say, I didn't want any of that. And when you say the name of Jesus, people get offended by that. The American culture is increasingly opposed to Christianity. For years, we used to have the Bible in school. Now they've taken it out. They've taken it out of the public sector. No longer can you say Merry Christmas. They say Happy Holidays. The Ten Commandments, the nativity scenes are under attack. And the world is becoming more and more against Christianity or Jesus. It's okay that you serve these other gods and these other religions, but don't bring in that Jesus. And let me tell you, any nation that turned away from Jesus, that nation paid a major price. And they experienced God's judgment. You're going to get persecuted when you use the name of Jesus. Just want to give you a little heads up. That's okay. It's all good. It's all right that they say something about you. It's okay that they identify you with God. At least they identify you with God instead of Charles Manson or something. Amen? Thank God they say, boy, that person there, they're sure religious. They follow that Jesus. They just don't know when they call you religious. They know I'm in a relationship. I tell you, you know Bill Gates? They go, no. Do you know this? And you know Rockefeller? And they said, well, no. It's why I got something more important than them that I'm family. Huh? Jesus. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm a king's kid. I'm a child of the Most High God. See, you got to know who you is. And know what you have access to. Because, see, there's something about Jesus. You can proclaim Jesus. There's good that you're going to get persecuted a little bit, but the good point is that you should go out and continue to proclaim the name of Jesus everywhere you go. There used to be a song, everywhere you go, proclaim the name of Jesus. Amen. Shout, I will proclaim the name that's above every name, that name is Jesus. See, if you don't share the gospel with people, then we're ignoring the most important thing, that people need forgiveness of sins and eternal life. How many times did people come to you and say you need Jesus? How many times did they use the name of Jesus and you ran away from them? You thought they were a Jesus freak. They were nuts. Go to some church and they're speaking in tongues and people falling out and running around the building. And that's crazy. And Jesus, people are crazy. They got something upstairs missing. Now, I really believe that you don't have to be that kooky Christian. I always found those people to be kooky, goofy, you know. You know, yeah, you know those, you know, go lay hands in there going, you know, and I don't know. I just couldn't picture Jesus doing that. Jesus was about getting it done. He didn't waste no time. Turn the water into wine. No. He didn't say, oh, it's just let it ferment for another couple weeks. That other wedding's going to be over, praise God. He gave him the best wine. Amen. Come on. The guy that couldn't see, he spits in the mud, you know, in an unusual way, and puts it in his eyes and go wash your eyes, and you could see. He didn't fool around. He didn't say, you know, go do the hula hoop, one foot in, one foot out, do the hokey pokey dance and all that. Jesus didn't like do that craziness like that. But you see a lot of that in the churches, you know, or they have to preach, and I'm going to tell you. I mean, do you talk that way in the normal? I mean, I'll just ask. I mean, I'll be out of breath by noon, you know what I mean? But you see that, and for me, I think that's crazy because I don't think Jesus is in that. Are you going to say, well, Pastor, I believe Jesus would talk to you like I'm talking to you. He'd say, hey, come here, family. Let's talk about this stuff. I know there's 5,000 of you, and you got your husband and wife, and there's about 15,000. I know you're all hungry. I hear your stomach growling. I'm going to feed you. Just give me some fish and loaves. Come here, kid. You know, Jesus got it done. He didn't make like a big spectacle of it. He didn't make it like, you know, like a magic act, like you're going to go on the strip and go see, you know somebody, you know make a lion appear or something. That wasn't Jesus. It wasn't magic. It was just God. He didn't get crazy and goofy. And I think about all the other the apostles, and when they started calling upon the name of Jesus, how things would break loose in their lives and lives were changed. I thought about, you know, what was that, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I mean, three names like that, I could barely get those out. It took me years to learn those names. But you notice that they didn't deny the name of Jesus. And then they said, well, they threw him in the fire, and then all of a sudden they said, well, it looks like there's a fourth one in there, and he looks like the Son of God, and they pulled him out, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Now, how does that happen? Because yesterday I was out burning some old documents in my fire pit, and I came home, and all my clothes smelled like smoke. I had a shower, man. My hair smelled like smoke, and my clothes smelled like smoke. But here they were put in a fiery furnace to burn to a crisp. I didn't even smell like smoke. Why? Because they were God. They were Jesus. See, when you're a Jesus, there ain't no fire that can consume you. There ain't no problem too big for Jesus. Come on. Take a look at this slide real quick. You can keep this up. Jesus. See how Jesus is bigger than everything else on that screen? Because his name is above every name, all names. One day, here's the deal. Every person will bow their knees to Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what the Bible says. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess Jesus. They might not have been saved or set free. They didn't make it. Of course, Jesus is pretty merciful. What will they say about you and I? What will they say? Are we the ones that shared the good news that allowed that person access to heaven? Were we the person that spoke boldly about Jesus and they got saved and set free and delivered? Or are we going to sit quiet and be silenced like the rest of them? Well, we can talk about God here, but we can't talk about Jesus. This week I have a big sales meeting here in Las Vegas, and the whole company is coming out, all the salespeople and managers. And we're staying at the MGM, and tonight they have a little get-together, and then tomorrow they have the meeting, and then Tuesday, Wednesday they have other meetings. And it'll be about 120 people. And I get 20 minutes to talk about my office. I can't wait to tell them about Jesus. Now, I know they might frown upon a little bit, and they might, you know, it's okay. The number one office, because my Lord Jesus helped me. Not God. No. I just want you to know my Jesus helped me. Just want to let you know. Someone might come to me after and say, "This Jesus person helped you. I need him on my team. my sales are lacking. I need this Jesus on my team." Well, you know. But he's with me everywhere I go. I don't have to explain him away. I don't have to make rhyme or reason. I just have to call upon his name. When I don't have the answer, I got to call upon his name. Because I don't have all the answers, but he does. See, today more than ever, we need to begin to lift up that name of Jesus. We need to proclaim it everywhere we go. We need to position the name of Jesus to be the first thing in all that we do, all that we think, and all that we speak. It's all right to wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Jesus. Thank you for allowing me to be alive this morning. Thank you for breath in my lungs, brushing my teeth. Thank God I still got teeth. Praise God. Thank God I still got hair. Praise the Lord. I can move with it, bike with it, swim with it, run with it. Don't fall out. Praise God. If it falls out, let it take the dirt along with it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that I got eyes that can see. Thank you, Lord, that I got hands that can still go and do something and feet to get up and move." See, the name of Jesus has the power for salvation and deliverance and hope and change and peace, redemption and resurrection. We got to pray in the name of Jesus, because there is no other name than the name of Jesus that can get you through what you're going through. God can get you to where you need to get to, but you got to be with him and allow him to be the pilot and you be the co-pilot. Today, you got to call upon that name of Jesus. You got to put your faith in the name of Jesus. You got to know that he's with you and that he's never going to leave you, nor is he ever going to forsake you. He's Jesus. He's always with you. He sticks closer to you than a brother. All those may walk away from you, but there will be still one that will be in your corner, even if you're messed up and wrong. His name is Jesus. You're never alone. You don't have to join the Lonely Hearts Club, because you got Jesus. Amen? He's always with you. There's something about that name that's above every name. It's something about that name that keeps my children whole and healthy. Something about that name that when I call upon the name of Jesus, he blesses my finances. Thank you, Jesus, for the job I have. That's just a resource, because you are the source. Amen? God will touch the hearts of men and women that you thought would never want to bless you, and they want to bless you because they don't know why. They just do it, and they get mad. I'm still blessing this guy. I don't know why. Why? Because Jesus. Come on. People buy you Starbucks, and they don't even know you, and they're getting it for you, and they don't know why. People will let you front of the line. They don't know why, but they do. Thank you, Jesus. I only had one item, and that person had 78 of them in their basket. But they're going to let you go first. Jesus. It's the name that's above all names. All names. Jesus. How many times have we fought him before we got to know him? How much earlier did he want us to know him than we got to know him? How much of my life did I waste not knowing him when I could have been even further ahead? If I would have had Jesus in the midst of my business when I got out of college, I would be a bazillionaire right now. That's capable of happening. But I didn't have Jesus then, but I do now. And there's something about that name, how he can take that and turn things around for you. But all you got to do is call on his name. Oh, Pastor, I call on his name for everything. Everything. Every night I go to bed, I pray for my family, my parents, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins, my kids. Lord, just be in their life. Touch them, bless them, guide them, direct them. Lord, Jesus, let them feel your presence. Let them know you. Lord God, I'm going in a meeting with 120 people. Lord, I hope that they feel the presence of the anointing of God on me and my wife when we come. Let their foul mouths just be shut up. They don't know why. Why do they want to pour out blessings and favor? I don't know, God. It's just going to follow your way. Shout the name of Jesus everywhere you go. Thank Jesus for everything you're going through. It's okay, you're going through some stuff. That means you're going to get through it. But if you don't have Jesus, it's sure going to be a long, hard road without him. Amen? So we understand about Jesus. His name is above every name. You're going to start using his name other than when you curse. Amen? He doesn't have a middle name, Jesus Christ. It's not his middle name. Amen? It's Jesus. Amen? Shout it everywhere you go, on the rooftops, in the schools, in your job. When you get out of your car, Jesus. Jesus, thank you that I got gas in my car. Thank God I got a car. See, you're missing in the little thing God wanted. He just wants to be recognized in all things. Come on now. The job you got. I know it ain't the good job, but he's got you there for a reason, because someone's going to notice you and you're going to get promoted. That's how God works. Sometimes you're in there where you're at just because God wants you to be, to see how you're going to act. Are you going to still praise him and thank him even in the midst of the crappy job you got? Or are you going to complain the whole time? Until you're unemployed, then you got no job. And then you call and Jesus, how did this happen to me? Maybe because you're nothing but a complainer. Thank him in the good. Thank him in the mediocre. Thank him in the bad stuff. Thank you, God, where you used to be in my life and now where I'm at with you. How my relationship, I've been married, we were going to be married 21 years. We've known each other for almost 23 years. She knows all my moves. I know all hers. As we get older, things don't irritate us like they used to when we were going. I got to know there's certain things I don't want to say or do because I know. And she doesn't say it. She knows there's certain buttons she can push that she really wants to push me off the edge, but she doesn't push those buttons that often. Praise God. Why? Because she knows me. And that's what about Jesus. The more you get to know him, the more you call on him, the more he wants to do. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my wife. She said, whatever, I just go do it. Yes, dear. And they say, oh, you know. No. Because I love her. That's how much God wants to do everything for you. Jesus wants to do stuff for you. Amen? You're laughing. You're, yeah. Seriously. He wants to do, the more you get to know him intimately, the more you become his friend. It's not a partnership. It's a relationship. My wife and I started off as partners. Now we're in the relationship. We're tied together. Her name is just like my name being written down, or my name and her name. It's the same. Amen? We don't have separate bank accounts. Why? We're one. When we got married, we became one. The two became one. Amen? Didn't matter who had more or who had less. Didn't matter. We became one. Two of us spent out of the one account. Amen? See, Jesus wants you to understand that he wants to be one with you. And when you call upon his name, and when you use the power in the name of Jesus, you're going to get criticized. You're going to get picked at. But know that you can continue to proclaim it, because God's got great stuff in store for you. And when you shout his name from the rooftops, people are going to be drawn to that, because people want what you have. They may think it's crazy. That's why I said, don't act like one of those crazy Christians, goofy and religious and condemning. And don't do that. Just be like Jesus was like us. He didn't wear a three-piece suit. He had a robe. He wore sandals. His toes got dirty from the dirt. Come on. He didn't wear alligators and crocodiles and $10,000 suits. He didn't. That wasn't Jesus. He was like us. That's why rich people have a hard time with Christians like us, because it's harder than a rich person to get into heaven, even though he has all the credentials and done all the right things and says all right. But if he doesn't accept Jesus, it's for naught. He can't. I have a needle. A rich person. It's hard. Why? Because I really believe that Jesus was more like us. He didn't hoot and holler and shouting and high stepping. I mean, I could do, oh, praise the Lord, get you all motivated and everything. And then when you walk out, you're still empty. My goal is not to have you empty. My goal is to overflow you. So when you get out of here, you gotta go give it out somewhere. I can breathe again. I got so much from church today. See, it's 52 weeks of class. That's all that is. And then we start all over again, and we have another 52 weeks of some other information about Jesus. We're always being a student of the Master. Jesus always learned from the Master, his Father. Just trying to help. Lord, I ask you to bless your people. Everything they do this week, Lord God, let it be focused on you. Let them call upon your name, Lord God. Lord God, let them just call upon it because they just love you. They want to praise you and worship you, Lord God, in spirit and truth. Father God, I ask you to bless your people this week. Whatever they're looking for, they'll find in you, Jesus. Give them favor. Give them increase, Lord God. Whatever, Lord God, they put their hands to will prosper. Lord God, let them ask you. Let them seek you and let them knock on your door. For, Lord God, when they knock on the door, they come, Lord God, seeking, Lord, you. And that, Lord God, your arms are wide open for them to receive all that you have from heaven. Bless them, guide them, and direct them. Let this week be their best week ever, Lord. If they're looking for a job, Lord, let the doors be open. Let your hand be upon that door and open that door, Lord God, so that their resume, their walking in, Lord God, will, Lord God, they'll sense the presence of Jesus on them. Maybe before you walk in or you lay hands on your resume, you just call Jesus three times. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I need some help with this. Please, Lord God, put it in the right hands today. Call upon that name. Use the power of the name of Jesus, because it's above every name, the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord God, to bless your people. In your mighty name we pray. Everybody said, amen and amen.